listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage podcast. This is the podcast that we've designed to help you save your marriage no matter where you are. You know, one of the questions that often comes to me is why marriages fail. It's kind of like the starting point question. People are curious about what caused the issues in my marriage, and they often feel like until they know that, they can't take the next step. Because of that, I went ahead and created a special resource that is available to you if you're interested. The name of this book is called Marriage Fail Point. Marriage Fail Point points to the places where a marriage is going to fail, likely to fail. There are things you can do to keep that from happening, and that is the point of this podcast. And so this very short book is designed to help kind of get you up to speed on why marriages get into trouble. Now, if that's of interest to you, you can find that. It's only for a few bucks. You can find that in Kindle version right now. We're debating whether to make that a paperback copy, but we do have it right now in Kindle version, and you can find that by going to SaveTheMarriage.com/MFP, the initials MFP standing for Marriage Fail Point, MFP. So go to SaveTheMarriage.com/MFP, and you will find a quick link to get to that book. And if you're wondering, why do marriages get into trouble? Well, I go through that and even go beyond that to tell you how to start rebuilding if you're in that situation. So today, I want to talk about how you go about working to save your marriage. Sometimes, you know, we can tell why something happened, but that doesn't tell us what to do now. And so today's podcast is designed on a concept that I've developed over the years and that I recently changed. Over the years, I've been talking about the three C's of how you proceed through working on your relationship, how you approach your approach. This really, those three C's have always been about how you actually carry out your plan. It's not about what you do so much as it's how you do those things. You see, I believe that you could have the best plan, but if you don't approach it the right way, the plan doesn't work. You know, it's kind of like, let's take another one, CPR, right? If you know CPR, it's a great technique, but what if you do it wrong? You know, what if you're pressing on somebody's thigh the wrong way, right? Or maybe you're not doing it fast enough, or you're doing it too fast, or somehow you're making it ineffective. And so suddenly what is a useful technique doesn't work. And it's the same with people's plans. You can have a well-created plan to save your marriage, but if you allow some pieces to happen, some background noise to get in the way, then your marriage is far less likely to be saved. Your plan is far less effective. And so I've always used this rule of the three C's of how you carry out your plan. I've got lots of other stuff. My Save the Marriage system is kind of about how you build your plan and what you do in your plan. But this is more about how you carry that out. Okay, so let me talk about what I've always called as the three C's. And I'm going to tell you about the change that I've added. The three C's are calm, constant, consistent. So let me tell you what I mean by each one. The first one, calm. The first piece of calm is acting calm. You know, it's sometimes when we're in the heat of things, we can choose whether we're going to allow our emotions to overcome us, allow us to give in to our emotions and respond from our emotions, or whether we're going to move to a calm place. If you've ever been around people who are in a natural disaster, you'll see a group of people who are basically giving in to the panic, giving in to the fear. And so they're running around usually fairly ineffectively and often causing more trouble, right? As they're flailing and running or frozen, they're not doing anything effective. And then you'll notice those who go to a calm place. That doesn't mean that their body is feeling calm, but it means that they go to a calm place of their reaction. They choose not to overreact. They choose not to underreact. They choose to respond to the situation in a calm way. That's part of what I'm talking about. That's probably 75% of what I'm talking about. Because I think that we always can find that calmer place, that place within the storm where we respond in a different way. But there's another layer to calm, which is to actually calm yourself. to find some techniques. And I've talked about this, especially at my Thriveology podcast. You can find that at thriveologypodcast.com. You can go there and just type in anxiety. And I've got some ways of dealing with anxiety. And there are other podcasts in the Save the Marriage podcast where I've also talked about how you find your calm. But this really is an important part, to actually work on finding true calm. There are ways to do that. A lot of people will say, how can you tell me to be calm in the face of this? And the fact is that there are ways that we can calm our bodies, calm our minds in the midst of the storm. And the importance of this is that if we are not calm, we tend to move our plan along in ways that are less helpful. We either go in panicky ways or we don't go in any way at all. In fact, that's the two responses that we have when we either freeze or flail when we have these things that scare us. I mean, freeze or flail, that's kind of what we do. And so when we're freezing, we're just not even taking any action. You know, we just find reasons not to do it, or we just stand there and stare. And then when we flail, it's like we're doing everything. And so calm is an important piece of this equation, because it allows us to, first of all, not exacerbate the emotional storm that's happening between the two of you. Second, it allows you to stay with what's going on. When we allow our less cool head to prevail, we tend to get off script very quickly, off our plan, off our hopes, off of our aim. And we start that freezing and flailing. And so this calm is 75% acting that way. And by the way, when you act that way, you begin to move that way. And the other 25% is actually working to find ways, learning ways of calming yourself. So the first one, calm. The second is constant. Now, what I don't mean by constant is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you should be trying to get something from your spouse. But constant means on a regular basis. Let's say that you have decided to start an exercise routine, and you're going to do a constant exercise routine. That may be that 3 days a week you go to the gym. That's on a constant kind of way. You're constantly moving in that direction. Or maybe more about eating. Let's say you've decided to eat well. So constantly you're working to eat well. That doesn't mean in between meals you're having to worry about that, right? Right? But when you're involved in that, it's on a regular basis. Now, let me say why constant is important. I've talked with people who have started working to save their relationship, and then they kind of put it on pause. Some people read about the no contact rule. And if you listen to my podcast, you know that I don't have a very high opinion of the no contact rule, because it breaks a bigger rule about connection. That relationships really are about connection, and no contact is about disconnection, furthering the disconnection. But there are lots of people who somehow kind of decide to take a break. I had somebody who came to me a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, I really was working on my relationship for a while, but I got tired and I just decided I needed a vacation from it. And so I really didn't do anything. I didn't reach out for 3 weeks. And wow, at the end of the 3 weeks, guess what? They didn't want anything to do with me. I lost all the ground I'd made. And I said, well, that makes sense. I mean, the other person wasn't aware that you needed a vacation. And so all they were seeing was you were backing away. So part of our task is to make sure that on a constant basis, we're reaching out to try to create that connection. Now, the constant, the level of constant can change. For instance, if you're just starting out, constant may be, for instance, sending one of my one-way texts once or twice a week. Once the connection has begun to grow, that might be 3 or 4 times a week. And tag-alongs may go from once every 2 weeks to maybe a couple of times a week. And it's still constant because you're working towards the connection on a constant level, whatever that basis is. And then I talk about consistent. Consistent is related to constant, but it's a little bit different, because there are so many of these opinions out there about how you should work on saving a marriage. And sometimes people get fooled into thinking that if somebody's talking about saving a marriage, then they're the same kind of category as somebody else. But we experts don't always agree. My theory is based on the science around connection and also about self-improvement. Those are the two big pieces. I have 3 actual pieces of the process, because 1 is creating the relationship you need, 2 is working on the connection, and 3 is working on yourself. It's kind of like a 3-legged stool, It's the first stable point. It's the simple approach. In fact, it's the basis of my book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. Those are the three steps. Connect with your spouse. Change yourself. Create a new path. And that new path is creating a relationship that is what I call being a we. So you can be consistent by making sure that all of the actions you do work from the same outlook, the same approach. So one way to think of that about this is more like in science, right? So in science, let's say that you're doing chemistry. You don't suddenly throw in a physics experiment in the middle of chemistry. You don't decide that you're going to throw the test tube against the wall and see how that does with the chemical reactions, right? Because that's not within the rules of what you're working on. And so consistent means that you're working from the same approach in whatever you're choosing to do. So understand that those three fit together in ways that where we're calm, constant, and consistent. That means that we're not kind of allowing our less cool head to prevail, and we are working on that same plan over and over in a way that is consistent with all of the other actions we've gotten. It's a powerful threesome, but I want to add a fourth, and let me tell you why. Had a VIP member, that's one of my programs, a VIP member said, you know, I've had to add a fourth one in, the fourth C. And she put it in that category. And I went, oh my gracious, I missed that. So the fourth C is courage. Now, I've talked a lot about courage. I found it to be one of the most important parts of how we choose to act as humans that take us to better places. Every time we face something that scares us and we do it anyway, that's courage. Let's say you decide to take on a new job. That takes courage. Let's say you decide to take on a new hobby. That takes courage. Let's say you decide to quit a job that's no longer working for you. That takes courage. So one of the things I missed is that's the fourth C. Those are the cornerstones of this house you're building, the way you're building it, are those cornerstones. Courage is an interesting concept. Years ago, I had this moment. My son was a Cub Scout, and we were having a pack meeting, and I was one of the leaders, and I was walking around, and I heard these boys talking about this incident with a firefighter, and they were talking about how courageous he was. And I said, hey, what do you think that means, being courageous? And all of them told me that they thought that courage was not having any fear. When something scary going on, you don't have any fear. And I said, oh, there's another word for that. And they said, what? And I said, that's just acting. I mean, if you do something, you have no fear. You're just doing something. But courage is something else. Courage is when you act really regardless of the fear. Action that is in the face of fear is courage. It's not about acting in spite of, because that's kind of running against. Sometimes people say, well, in spite of my fear, I decided to jump off the wall. Well, maybe the fear was telling themselves something important, right? So in spite of is sometimes refusing to listen to the fear. But fear is this interesting thing, because fear often is just pointing out something that's important to us. We've come to live in a culture that avoids fear. When something makes us fearful, we decide we ought to stay away from it. It's an avoidance indicator. But I believe that fear is really an importance indicator. It's saying you need to pay attention to this. This is important. Pay attention. Which is why I don't think that courage is in spite of fear. That's reckless behavior sometimes. So I was listening to a story about a person who had a friend who just took a leap off of a cliff expecting that the water underneath would be deep enough to protect their fall. So, you know, the person said, I've got the courage to do it, and leapt off without checking, right? That's not courage. That's reckless behavior. If you know the water is deep enough and you want to make the jump and you decide to make the jump in spite of your fear, that might be a little courageous action, but doing it recklessly is not what we're talking about. Courage, that word, cœur, it's from French for heart. Actions and courage come from somewhere else. They come from a deeper place, kind of in the middle of us, where we know that this is something we need to do. It scares us to death, but we know it's something we need to do. That's courage. In the middle of a marriage crisis, you can feel lots of fear. And the question is whether you're going to give into that fear or push beyond the fear. And here's the interesting thing. The only way we move beyond fear is by acting, by taking a step, by moving forward. In fact, in some ways, this is probably number one C, the first place, because you can't act calm, constant, consistent unless you're actually acting. And sometimes the courage needs to get us to the place where we're willing to act. So really, courage is regardless of what's going on. It's setting aside the fear that feels like it should stop you and moving forward. Notice that the fear is important. This is not about being fearless. I really don't believe in the concept of becoming fearless. I do believe in the concept of moving forward in spite of fear, which, by the way, reduces the fear. When we act in spite of the fear, that can be reckless. When we act in the face of fear, regardless of that fear, the fear begins to subside. In fact, courageous actions are one of the things that help us find some calm. So all of these pieces are very deeply linked together. It's just important to recognize that all four of these C's are important. So now the four C's are calm, constant, consistent, and courage. You have to have the courage to link that together, courageous. I invite you to take courageous action. If you're not sure how to do that, grab my Save the Marriage system. You can find that by going to savethemarriage.com. Now, right now, if you go ahead and grab the Save the Marriage system, you can also get a week of the VIP that I just mentioned, where we have some conversations together. And that valuable piece can help you. It's a free week, no obligation. You have to sign up for it when it's available. It's the only time you can get that free week. Also, you can sign up for a session with one of my coaches who can work with you to get you started. Make sure that you have a chance to get started. Not everybody takes advantage of that. I'm not sure why, because it's a great way of making sure you're moving through that process. So make sure you also do that. And if you're at a starting point, if you're trying to figure out why this marriage has gotten into trouble, again, my book, The Marriage Fail Point, will point you in that direction and tell you what to do. You can find that by going to savethemarriage.com/MFP, which stands for Marriage Fail Point. The letter M, the letter F, the letter P. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.